Well, what's he doing there, you might be asking. I've got a broadcast panel that I'm on tomorrow morning here in Minneapolis, St. Paul. It's called a conclave, and aspiring broadcasters, current broadcasters are all going to be there. So that's what I'm going to do, and then I'll head back on a plane, and we'll do the show out of the cave in St. Louis on our Thursday night program. Catherine Albrecht with us. We're going to talk about chips next. Would you get chipped if they forced you to do it, or would you walk away from it? Let's talk about that later. Catherine Albrecht with us. Catherine, any new information on trying to compel us to take chips, getting them implanted in our systems?
Yeah, we've got a couple of not-so-good developments happening on the chipping front. There is probably the thing that's making me lose sleep right now. Macy's and Bloomingdale's, a multi-billion-dollar corporation with 850 stores around the U.S., has announced that, quote, we believe now is the right time to roll out RFID aggressively. That is from a press release. Tom Cole, their chief administrative officer of Macy's, Inc., came out and said that they believe it's time to aggressively begin placing RFID spy chips on shoes and clothing being sold at Macy's stores around the country. They're going to be starting at the flagship Herald Square Macy's store in Manhattan, right there in New York City, with, get this, 300,000 pairs of shoes that will be RFID.
300,000?
I know, that's nearly a million shoes. It's mind-blowing. They're going to have a shoe department in that Macy's, which they're redesigning, which will be as big as 25 of my house.
Wow. All right, what's the reason for RFID originally? What did they want to do, track inventory?
Yeah, they want to be able to tell individually in real time exactly what is sitting on the shelf. And the problem, of course, with this is that in order to be able to tell in real time exactly what's sitting on a shelf, you have to put a tracking device into each individual item. And when you put a tracking device into an item like shoes, and then you send people out of the store with these items, then the people become trackable far away from the shoe shelf. Then it becomes the person tracking devices. And as we detailed in our book, Spy Chips, which we first released on this very show back in 2006.
Remember that. Yep.
IBM actually has a patent for something they call the person tracking unit. And the plan for the person tracking unit is that they would place hidden RFID readers in the walls and floors and ceiling tiles and doorways of every public place there is, museums, theaters, libraries, bus stations, train stations, you name it, so that everywhere you go, there would be RFID readers, you know, potentially in the floor. And as you step on the RFID reader with the unique ID number in your shoe that you bought at Macy's, then the shoe, even if it's, you know, 1,000 miles away from where you bought it, reads that unique ID number. And the thing about RFID is each individual pair of shoes would have a different number from every other pair of shoes. And when you pay for that pair of shoes at Macy's and they scan it at the check stand, and I'm still in talks with Macy's to try to get all of the details. They've been a little reluctant to give us the full scoop on exactly how they're going to be doing this. But as they scan that pair of shoes and you pay for it with a credit card and you identify yourself and they get unique ID number 308247 is in the right shoe, then that goes into the database, which the RFID folks call the Internet of Things. And see, this is where it ties in with this global brain of Google. You better believe Google's going to be a big part of this when it comes together.
This is amazing.
It's mind-blowing because what it means, George, see, what Google does now is Google has a dossier of information on each of us individually. And what this will do is instead of having a page of information on a website, for example, about us, this will create a page of information about every physical object on the planet. You know, they've got enough unique ID numbers to uniquely number every grain of sand on Earth with a different number and no duplicates. So their plan is to place one of these instead of a barcode or in addition to a barcode on every physical object on Earth. That's trillions of items that would all be tagged. And the system is big enough to accommodate that with these tiny chips the size of a speck of dust. I mean, these things are so incredibly small now.
They used to be a grain of rice, right?
Yeah. Well, the grain of rice is the implantable one because you need it to be big enough.
Okay, and we'll get into that.
Yeah, we'll get into that next. That's like it's a whole other thing.
That's the next one.
The RFID microchips that they're putting on the consumer products in the Macy's stores starting in August are hooked up to miniature antennas, so they can transmit their information at a distance of a couple of feet. And so if you shop at Macy's, and I strongly recommend that you don't, and same with Bloomingdale's also, when you shop there and you buy these items and then you leave the store, you now run the risk of being scanned elsewhere. And this is not just a theoretical concern. Right now, the border crossings, here's where this starts tying in and becoming really creepy. You know, you could play the horror movie music now. The system that they're using to tag consumer products is the same system that they're using at border crossings in e-passports and in enhanced driver's licenses.
Same thing.
Now, it is the same thing. And this is despite even every privacy advocate commented and spoke out against this because we thought it was a terrible idea to put item tracking RFID into driver's licenses and passports. We said it was just the worst thing you could ever do. And not only that, but the RFID industry itself, all of their experts spoke up and said, State Department, you guys are out of your minds. Why would you choose such an insecure technology as the product code RFID, which is meant to be maximally trackable? You know, it's made for warehouses so that you can tell where everything is all the time. Why would you want to take that RFID standard and put it into identity documents like passports and driver's licenses? That's going to make everybody carrying those things trackable right through their purses and wallets from across the street. And not only that, but George, here's where this gets even creepier. If you have an e-passport or an enhanced driver's license, and right now nobody would have one unless they requested it. So this is not in everybody's driver's license. You have to ask for a special border crossing driver's license in border states. But if you have one in your wallet and you walk into a Macy's store starting next month, Macy's will be able to read your driver's license through your purse, through your wallet, through your pocket, through your backpack as you stand in front of the shoe shelf.
And so they'll know who you are before you even buy anything.
Well, what they'll have, they'll get your unique
imprint.
Internet of Things ID number. And they're making the argument that, well, all we'll have is a number. And I say, well, if numbers were so safe, then why don't we just wear our Social Security numbers across the front of our T-shirts? You know, your number is your ID, especially for the computer. The computer would rather have your number than your name.
That's right.
Believe me, because
absolutely,
it's easier to look it up.
Okay, what about people who say, I'm not going to shop there? You know, you basically are going to boycott them. What about people who say, I'm not going to shop there, I'm not going to buy their shoes?
Well, this is
will they then change?
I'm actually in talks with Macy's right now, and they have promised to get back to me. I was trying to get information from them before today's show. They have promised to get back to me by close of business tomorrow with a full accounting of exactly how they're going to label these things, how removable they'll be, whether you can disable them, and possibly even whether we can stop this from happening altogether, because it will be the biggest item-level RFID rollout anywhere on the globe.
And let me ask you this. Why do they even have to do this?
They want... When you have a global supply chain where everything's coming in from China and Indonesia and all over the world, and you become so huge that you have 850 stores and billions of items of inventory, then you run into a problem of how do you manage all that stuff? And RFID holds out this tantalizing promise that it can be kind of like the Google of the physical world. So you say, where is that pair of size 8 Jimmy Choo's, because Macy's is a pretty expensive store, where's that $800 pair of shoes? And the computer instantly says, it's on the third floor in the second shelf on the left. Or
on store number 227.
Or it could say, well, last time we saw it, it was on Catherine Albrecht's right foot walking onto the train station in Connecticut. So
it could be that accurate.
Absolutely. And this person tracking unit that IBM has patented, you know, this is the dirty little secret of the RFID industry that they don't want you to know. But IBM went into considerable detail. All of this is in our book, Spy Chips, which if people didn't read it in 2006, they should read it today because it's more relevant today than when we wrote it. We got accused of being like pie in the sky, you're before your time, this will never happen. Well, it's all happening
sky
exactly.
Sky is falling. Yeah.
Exactly the way we said in the book, because we didn't make it up. We said they told us what they were going to do in these 30,000 documents we reviewed. We just wrote it all down, and now they're doing it. So the person tracking unit, this idea is that every physical object that passes through doorways and floors and anywhere will be tracked. So as you walk through a doorway in the future, they'll know the size of your underwear, how old your jeans are. They'll know everything in your pocket. They'll know all the places that you've been because they'll be able to tell all the other places that those things were recently seen. It's mind-blowing. They'll know who you walked into the restaurant with or who you sat with or when you went to the bathroom because it's all going to be trackable through these physical objects. And when I said that when you wear these shoes, you're going to be interacting with the government, when you cross the border now, right now today in 2012, into Mexico or Canada, as you approach the border station, there are powerful RFID readers aimed at your car that can pick up all of these EPC tags on you.
So if you're wearing are they in your passports right now?
They are in the ones in the booklet passports. We fought and we got a better standard in those. Those are encrypted, and we were talking about encryption with StartPage in the last segment. So those are encrypted, and they can't just be randomly read by anybody, and they have a short read range of only a couple of inches. Where the problem comes up is the e-passports, which it looks like a driver's license. It's a passport on a card. Those e-passports and also the things called enhanced driver's licenses. Everybody listening, if you live in a border state, you know, Michigan, Washington, Arizona,
Texas,
all the border states, New York,
Arizona.
You live in a border state, and you go in to renew your driver's license, they will give you an option, and it'll sound really great. They'll say, hey, listen, if you check this box and pay a couple extra bucks, we will make your driver's license a dual passport driver's license that you can use to get over the border into Canada or Mexico.
Or any place else? Or just those two spots?
Or the Caribbean. So it's just for the local.
You can't go to Paris.
No. It's the Western Hemisphere Travel Initiative, WHTI, if people want to start page it. It is the local, you know, what used to only require a driver's license a couple years ago.
Right.
So now it requires a passport. But passports are expensive. They're like, I don't know, $75, and you have to apply and get a special passport photo, and it's a pain. So now what they've offered to people is your driver's license can double as your passport, but there's just one little catch. There's a microchip RFID spy chip in the passport that can be read through a hotel wall. I know, because I actually got a reader and I did it. I actually read an enhanced driver's license through a wall with my reader. So they can be read through walls. They can be read through your purse, your pocket, etc. And because they chose to use the product tracking standard on them, they're cross-compatible, which means Macy's can read your driver's license, and it means that the border crossing station can read your shoes that you bought at Macy's.
That's
so
amazing.
As you approach the border station, they have these powerful RFID readers aimed at the cars, and the idea is that if you have one of these passport cards, you're supposed to put it on the dashboard of your car in the windshield as you drive up, and when you get there, they've already got all your information on the screen because they read you at a distance through the little chip in the card. If you're doing that, they are also capable of reading all of the RFID-tagged objects that you're wearing and carrying in the car, like your Macy's shoes, if Macy's actually does this. So if people want to stop this, we stopped it for 10 years, and your listeners played a huge role in doing that, George. We put the brakes on this industry back in 2003, and I announced it on this radio program. When we boycotted Benetton, because they were planning on putting RFID tags into women's underwear.
I remember that. You jumped on that one.
We jumped on it, and we got it stopped for 10 years. You can go to Benetton's website, the big international clothing company, and still to this day, there is a statement on their website about RFID saying, we have looked at it, we decided not to use it. To this day, 10 years later.
And you know what? They're still functioning, aren't they?
Well, Benetton's still doing just fine, believe me, and they're selling clothes in over 100 countries around the world, and they're doing fine without it. So now Macy's and Bloomingdale, and, you know, This sentence, we believe now is the right time to roll out RFID aggressively. I like to be humble, but I really think that they think now is the time to do this, George, because they think I'm sidelined with cancer and I can't fight back.
Oh, my gosh. You really think so?
I do.
Wow.
Because, see, when the industry got together the year before I got cancer, they had a big meeting in New York City at the Fashion Institute of Design. And we went down there and protested them and held up signs that said RFID in clothing equals boycott. And every single one of those clothing companies, every single one of the Bloomingdale's and all the people, we talked to all of them. They all walked past our picket, and they all looked at us in fear and said, well, we won't do that. And then I got cancer and got knocked out of the race for about 18 months while I had to focus on surviving. And that is when they made this choice to aggressively roll out RFID. So I really would like, I mean, if when we get these answers back, and I'm going to post the answers on my blog so people can go there. It's probably the easiest way, kmashow.com, and also spychips.com, and people can sign up for the mailing list too. I'll send this out via email. But if they go there, I'm going to post tomorrow Macy's complete response by 5 p.m. and let you guys know exactly how Macy's is going to do this. And if they plan on embedding the RFID tags in the shoes, or if they don't have a mechanism for removing the RFID tags or disabling the RFID tags before you leave the store with them, then I believe we're going to have to do what we did with Benetton and make a big, you know, a press release and get the media involved and go out there before they do this, because they're planning this for next month. It's a big rollout. 300,000 pairs of shoes. Can you imagine?
Any other stores doing this or just them?
Well, they're the big player right now. I think they're sort of the primary focus. We know that Walmart has been experimenting with this, and that's why I won't shop at Walmart. Walmart almost single-handedly drove the adoption of RFID over the last couple of years. In 2005, they told all their suppliers that they had to invest in the technology. And so RFID has now become, you know, this enormous, enormous business force to be reckoned with. I was just looking at some of the numbers today and could not believe how many billions of dollars now this industry is. And a lot of that comes from Walmart. Today, if you walk into a number of Walmart stores and you stand in the underwear aisle of all places, they can read your driver's license. So I'd say probably Walmart and Macy's are the two big offenders.
I don't think I'd be standing in the aisle of the underwear section. Just,
well, you know,
standing there?
It's underwear, it's socks. I went into...
You'd get arrested.
It's not only just standing there, it's literally just walking past. And it's not even that they want to read your driver's license, it's that the technology can't help it. Because the way RFID works is the shelf, and this gets into a whole health issue. You know, people talk about smart meters and RFID radiation. The employees in Macy's should be up in arms boycotting this themselves. They should go on strike. Because once they put this stuff into the environment, into the cash registers and the doorways, then those people will be bombarded all day long with radio frequency radiation. We know from research that's been done over in Europe and from some documents that we found from the RFID industry that there are some serious health concerns. There's actually a belief that this may unzip DNA, that it actually may cause knockouts, you know, pieces of DNA to be knocked out if you have too much exposure to it, especially your reproductive organs.
All right. Stay with us, Catherine. We're going to take this quick break, come back, and I want to talk about RFID chips on people. That's next on Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour, we'll take your phone calls with Catherine Albrecht as we talk about privacy issues. And also, maybe you can share one of your stories, how you think your privacy has been breached. We'll be back with more on Coast to Coast AM. What's new in the world of chipping people, Catherine? And tell me about this Coachella Music Festival. What happened?
Oh, my goodness, George. Well, a couple of months ago in California, this was actually in April, the Coachella Music Festival, 160,000 people attended this event. Now, you know, that would be pretty unremarkable. It's kind of the modern Woodstock, and they're doing a lot of these, except for one thing. In order to get into the event, you had to have an RFID spy chip in a wristband that had to be on your right hand, all in capitals, underlined, right hand only. If you put it on your left hand, you couldn't get in. And not only that, and that's significant, by the way, because in the Bible, of course, the mark of the beast is on your right hand or your forehead if you don't have hands, but not on your left hand. So this Coachella Music Festival, you paid in advance with a credit card. They mailed you in the mail an RFID chip in a handy-dandy little wristband that you could put right on your right hand. And then to get to the festival, which is held miles from anything in the middle of nowhere in California, you drive up to the festival, and they had a police perimeter. They actually got the local police of that area to put up roadblocks. And a mile from the festival, the roadblocks would stop you. The police, the authorities, would force you to roll down your window, and every member of the car had to put their right hand out of the car so that the authorities could verify that they had their microchip on their right wrist. And when they got to the event, and I have this, by the way, on my blog. I posted the YouTube video of this at kmashow.com. Just click on blog and you can see it. The most disturbing image, George, because it is thousands of young people between the ages of probably 15 and 28, 30. And they're all taking their right hand to walk into the festival. And instead of showing a ticket, they're taking their right hand and they're pressing it against a circle with a picture of a right hand on it, one after the other. And you see them walking through, beep, 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 all of them right hand, beep, 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 to get into this music festival.
What was the reason for that? For speed? What?
Speed and security to make sure that nobody crashed the festival. There's a really creepy picture of the police. That's actually from their website, of the police scanning these things in people's cars and them having to put their hand out. Check it out. It's a parody that I would have paid somebody to draw, but they put it on their website themselves. You know, it's their own marketing stuff. It's totally bizarre. But
now, did these 160,000 young people, did they think this was cool?
They did. And in fact, not only did they think it was cool, you can find videos of the excitement as they unwrap these RFID-tagged wristbands and put them on. And there are even people who say, I didn't take mine off for a month because I wanted to relive the experience of Coachella, so I kept my wristband on and I showered in it and I slept in it. There was not, George, here's the part that really disturbs me the most. Not one mention anywhere on the entire internet of anything having to do with the mark of the beast, anything having to do with any biblical prophecy that ties in with this. So 160,000 young people who went off to listen to hip-hop and rock.
And they had a great time.
They did. And, you know, the modern Woodstock. And you see them out in the sun, and they look like they're having a ball, but they're not even aware that this poses any kind of a problem. Not even aware of it to the point of dismissing it or laughing at it or writing it off. It just didn't even come up. So, you know, it feels like the 18 months that I've kind of been out of the out of the game here. You know, had I been on my toes there instead of in the chemo center getting cancer treatment, I would have been out there in Coachella holding up a sign at least by the side of the road. Get out your body.
Even if you were by yourself, right?
Even if it was just me. You know, I just 160,000 people, and now, since Coachella has done it, now you've got the Bamboozle Music Festival. What a great name. You've got all of these music festivals now deploying the same technology, so it's becoming the standard. And I am guessing that by the end of the year, we will have seen more than 1 million people place an RFID chip on their right hand in order to access a music venue.
Or anything.
Or anything. Well,
or anything.
That's really where it becomes disturbing, because the RFID chips that they're putting in the wristband are also converging with cell phones. It's called NFC, near field communication. And you have publications like Forbes saying, oh, cash is over. It's the death of cash because everybody's going to pay with their cell phones. And the microchip that you put in the wristband or in the cell phone is essentially the same technology that you put into the microchip implant that you can inject directly into people. So we're getting so close to the convergence of this. And the part that just, you know, again, really is disturbing to me is 20, 30, 40 years ago, a couple of generations ago, 100 years ago, people all knew what the mark of the beast was. And nowadays, you so much as say those words and people roll their eyes and they're like, oh, yeah, whatever. You can't even talk about it from the pulpits anymore. You know, parents don't talk to their kids about it anymore. So I think it's really time, as we get closer to the technology, we're discussing it less and less. And I think it really is time for us to say, hey, you know what? It's time to dust off the Bible. go to that last chapter in the Bible, Revelation. Go to chapter 13. It's easy to remember because it's an unlucky number. Go to the last three verses in chapter 13 of Revelation, and you will read right there. It says, there will be a time when all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and bond or imprisoned or enslaved, will be forced to have a number or a mark on their right hand or their forehead without which they cannot buy or sell. And we, you know, when that was written 2,000 years ago, George, there's no possible way that the Apostle John, in exile, an old man on an island off the coast of Greece, a scrappy goat-herding island, could have possibly seen the developments that are happening today with smartphones, with the internet, with the web or the net. And it's no mistake that it's called a web. There's no mistake. It's called a net. You know, these are words that entail tracking, trapping, you know, victims being ensnared. We have satellites now that are circling the sky. We have drones flying in the sky. All of it is coming together and converging exactly the way it was spelled out in the book of Revelation. And I've got something on my wall. Can I share this with you, George?
Yeah.
This is from Jennifer. And if she's listening out there, I want to say God bless Jennifer, because I printed something out that has seen me through some pretty rough times this last year and a half with cancer. Here's what she wrote. Thank you so much for your important work on this matter. I first heard you on Coast to Coast AM, and because of what you said about the chips, I read the book of Revelation and made the decision to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I also made a personal vow that no matter what happens in this world, I will not allow myself or my family to be microchipped, because I believe, like you, that this is the mark of the beast. God bless you and keep up the amazing work. Yours, Jennifer. That's a Coast listener.
Not bad.
Made my day.
Not bad
at all. Made it
all
worthwhile.
What's going on with RFID tracking of school kids?
San Antonio. See, I wish I could just go multiple. I wish I could, like, multiply my time so I could be everywhere.
You can't be.
I'm trying, and maybe listeners can jump in and help me out here, because we've got to boycott Macy's. We got to get down there to the Herald Square store. And the other place we've got to get is San Antonio, Texas, when school begins in late August, early September, because San Antonio is going to be tagging a couple hundred thousand school kids with RFID in their IDs and putting the reader devices to scan them all day long in the doorways of their classrooms, of the bathrooms, at the sinks, in the buses. Every place they go, these kids are going to be getting trained that having an RFID tracking microchip in a plastic card that they're required to carry or wear around their necks is normal. And once you train a couple hundred thousand kids in San Antonio that this is absolutely normal, then when they get to be adults and people say, well, we want to put this RFID in a wristband, it's a no-brainer. And then when they say, well, we need to track to scan you to get into the Macy's or cross the border, it's a no-brainer. And these kids are not going to know to object. And the reason I think, you know, once again, you can always figure out why they pick the targets that they do. When I looked into the school district in San Antonio where they are rolling this out this September, it is a district in which the vast majority of the parents of the kids do not speak English. So not only are they not in a position to even understand what's being done to their children.
They have no idea what's going on.
Even if they did understand it, they don't have the political clout and the ability to organize and reach out to the media in order to put a stop to it. So, you know, if they get away with it, and see, this is the thing. It's just like if you, I like to cook. And if you ever bring home something from the store and it's got bugs in it, and
you don't
do anything about it, then before you know it, there's going to be bugs in every cupboard and you're going to have to throw out the whole kitchen. So when you see bugs, you got to stop, drop everything, clean up, and get rid of them. The same thing is true with RFID. If we don't stop Macy's, because the entire industry now is watching Macy's to see what they're going to do in August and how the public will respond to that. And if we don't stop them, if we let them do it, then all the other stores that have been afraid of consumer reaction are going to say, oh, well, consumers didn't do anything, so let's roll out our own RFID. And then by the time you realize it, it'll be too late to stop it because it'll be everywhere. The same is true with the school kids. If we let them do this in San Antonio to the people who can't object, and if we don't stand up for them, then the next thing you know, this is going to be in every school in America, and by that point, it's going to be too big to stop. So you have to stop these things when they're small. You've got to get rid, you have to uproot the weeds before they take over your whole garden.
Why do you think chips might be the sign of the beast?
Well, I actually don't know if they will be, George. People will often say to me, oh, Catherine, you know, you would have been opposing, you know, back in the 30s, you would have been opposing the Social Security number. Back in the 70s and 80s, you would have been opposing the barcode. Come on. People said that was also the mark of the beast. And my response to that is we don't know what the mark of the beast is going to be. The Bible says that we won't know until it gets here, that this is going to be a mystery to everybody until it's here, and then everybody will see it and everybody will know it. And we're not there yet. We're so close because we now not only have the ability to do it, but we're building the infrastructure to make it very easy to do. Back in the 1930s, I would have been among the people protesting the Social Security number, not because it itself is the mark of the beast, but because it paves the way for the next step. And the same also with the barcode. I would have been opposing the barcode because the barcode is what enabled physical objects to become easy to put into computers, and that's all part of the system. And now RFID is one of the ways, one of a number of ways, that people can become scannable and placed into a system. So if it isn't RFID, I will say this, RFID is certainly a step along the road towards it. And I've given this analogy before on the show, and I think it bears repeating. If I'm in California and I don't want to wind up in New York, and I'm on a train, and every single stop is putting me closer on a straight line to New York, I don't have to actually reach New York before I realize I better get off the darn train because I can see where it's going. And so each of these technologies is a stop closer to that ultimate endpoint of the mark of the beast. And one of the things we know from the Bible is that as we get closer to this time, Satan, the enemy, the beast, will realize that his time is short, and he's going to start speeding up. And this, I believe, is the reason why we're seeing, like, weird things, like people eating other people.
Everything's weird lately.
It feels like the evil on the planet has accelerated or quickened, as they say. And that is something that is absolutely part of what we're told prophetically will be happening at this time. The good will get better and the bad will get worse. There will be a parting of what the Bible refers to as the sheep and the goats, the people that the Lord's going to put on his left hand and his right hand.
The divide will get bigger.
It will, and we've got to make those choices because if, you know, people have so much chaos in their lives right now, and I would argue that a large amount of that chaos is because they're being fought over in a spiritual realm. You know, if your life seems like it's just upside down and turning all around and spinning and you just can't get it under control, it's probably because you have not taken a stand and chosen a team and you're being fought over. There's a war going on all around us. You know, we're not battling the people at Macy's. You know, yeah, we need to battle them, but that's not really where the battle is. The battle is a spiritual battle. And the only way that you can lift yourself up out of that fray is by choosing the winning team and choosing to fight for that winning team and fight for good. So in the same way that, you know, you've got Lady Gaga now, what's her new song, Princess Die, D-I-E, and it's all about suicide. You know, the kinds of people that are being held up for us to idolize in our popular culture are all sending us a message of death and destruction. You know, Madonna recently opened her concert in the Holy Land, getting up and saying, you know, splattering people's brains on the screen behind her and carrying around AK-47s and talking about blowing out her lover's brains. And then said, I'm doing this because peace is so important. you don't get peace by blowing people's brains out. But you're going to see more of that, more open and overt kinds of ceremonies like what happened at the Super Bowl when Madonna got up there and performed, you know, practically a black mass, or Nicki Minaj doing that public exorcism and claiming that she's possessed. You know, the spiritual elements of this are going to become so obvious that you cannot miss them. And well, as that happens, you know, as Isaiah says in the Bible, we, God's people, have to rise and shine because our light has come and the glory of the Lord will shine upon us and through us and nations will come to us. And that's really the key. People will see who the good people are and turn to them and say, hey, I want a little bit of what you've got. And the answer to that has always got to be The only way you're going to save yourself from the sinking ship of the Titanic is hopping into that lifeboat of Jesus Christ, because that's it.
Well, you're talking end times. You're talking apocalypse now, aren't you?
Yeah. It's all in the Bible. See, back in the 1940s, when Israel was reconstituted as a nation, you know, that was the real wake-up call that we are in those times that are discussed in the Bible.
The clock has started.
Yes, because for over 1,000 years, people were waiting. Well, Israel will never come back together. They're scattered all over the world. And now, look, they're being killed by the Nazis and persecuted and hunted down. It'll never happen. And then, you know, through just a miraculous course of events, Israel becomes a nation again.
When will they force people to get these chips implanted? Force them?
You know, it doesn't really...
I mean, here, we're forced with Social Security cards. If you don't have a Social Security number, you don't get a job in this world.
But see, that's the way the force works, George. I don't believe that they're going to come at us with guns and tanks and say, you must be microchipped. I believe what will happen is that it will be voluntary, just like the toll transponders. How many people in our listening audience right now have a toll transponder on their car? That is a powerful government tracking device that monitors your travels. And if guns and tanks arrived and said, everyone in America must put this on their car because we want to track you, people would rise up and say no. I mean, we're the most heavily armed nation on the globe. We would say no, that's tyranny. But when they say, hey, it's voluntary, and we'll get you through the lane faster, and it'll be more convenient, and it's voluntary, then people don't see the risk. It's just like the thing about the goats or the feeding wild pigs, where you put up the one fence and the two fences and the three fences.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as they're all in there and saying, well, you know, it's perfectly safe, look, there's an opening over there, then you close up the opening and you've got them. The same thing is true for the voluntary technologies. As soon as you have about 80%, you know, this is kind of my own version of Murphy's Law, kind of Albrecht's Law here. As soon as you have 80% of people voluntarily complying with something through incentives or maybe punishments or, you know, convenience, whatever, then you can force the other 20% to do it, because now you've taken the wind out of any arguments and you've got the majority of people already on your side. And they're already doing this. I predicted this with the toll transponders 10 years ago. I said, listen, if everybody just takes these things and doesn't use the cash lane, you know, cash, use it or lose it, if people are not willing to stand up and, you know, have a little inconvenience in exchange for their freedom, and 80% of people get on board with the toll transponders, they will make them mandatory. And now we've got freeways in California. We've got freeways in Washington.
Well, everywhere.
Where you must have a toll transponder on your car. You can't drive on the road. You'll get a ticket, like a $50 ticket in the mail, if you don't have the transponder. So will they force us to be microchipped? I don't think so. I think what's going to happen is this near-field communication on our phones, the RFID tags and the passports and driver's licenses are going to expand, and they will be voluntary. Even now, in this country, you don't have to have a Social Security number. You don't have to. Nobody makes you do it. You know, there's no law saying you must. There's plenty of people whose children don't have them, but just try to do anything without it. So it's kind of, you know, I don't have to have a toll transponder on my car to drive on those roads in California. I could drive on other roads, but, you know, I try getting around in 10 years without one. So that's kind of the new strategy. No longer is it guns and tanks, because that doesn't work so well when everybody's well-educated and well-armed. What works much better is to get people to think that they're voluntarily doing it themselves. You know,
Catherine,
Google, prime example.
Hold on. We're gonna come back. We're at the top of the hour. We're going to take phone calls on Coast to Coast AM.